Russell, and here we go. This is the second episode of the Fantasy Burners podcast. My name is Brandon.
And I'm Matt.
And we have a great episode lined out here. We've worked on our format a little bit. We've got really three distinct sections that we're going to be working through today. And I'm gonna hand the reins over to Matt to kind of go over those, give us an intro, and then kick us off on the first section.
Yeah, hey guys, welcome back for the second episode here. We're excited to kick it off this week. We're hoping to kick out one or two of these a week moving forward, especially in season. We might introduce some blurbs going towards, you know, Sunday kickoff, maybe a Monday night primer type deal where we can give you some up to date streaming options or some different things like that, or just general thoughts too. So be looking for those as we get in season. But tonight we're going to talk about we had a selection Sunday, as I want to call it. We had our keeper designations in our big league. You'll notice our league crest as our emblem on the site. So if you see that logo above the Fantasy Burners on the site, that is our official league logo. And you can see all of the team names on there, as well as, you know, a nice football and a beer mug. And our league name is Someone's Drunk Somewhere, which is pretty fitting for the group of people that are in that league. We all enjoy each other's company. And sometimes it's over a nice cold beverage. Tonight I am just dabbling on a whiskey and Coke. It is a Jack. I don't know if Brandon's in Phoenix, I believe. So I don't know if he's partaking or has partook this evening, but maybe he can get into that in a little bit. But we did have keeper designations that went across this last week. So we're going to go through some of our surprise keeps and some of our surprise drops. And then after that, we're going to have the burning questions. That's going to be a segment that we roll out probably once a week. It's just general questions that we want to throw out to you guys to see where your head's at, as well as we'll just talk about where we would go with some of the player selections. And then we'll hit up the burnt ends. These are the and hopefully everybody understands the reference there. We are Kansas natives, and if you haven't had a good burnt end, I pity you. It is one of the best barbecue pieces of meat out there. So we like to save that for the end, really polish off the episode, and we'll begin to call those the burnt ends. Brandon, did you want to jump in there?
Yeah. So you know, and another thing on the theme, if you'll notice the burn, right, as we go through this, maybe a little bit of explanation to that, right? Our last name is spelled a little unique relative to what most people think. Burn, right? B-U-R-N. It's actually B-E-R-N. So you'll see some spelling that's not us misspelling because we don't know how to spell. That's actually just kind of a play on our last name. It's just kind of a fun way to talk about some of the sections and sort of get a theme going as we go through some of these episodes. But yeah, really looking forward to the episode, Matt. As he mentioned, I am in Phoenix, and tonight today it was 115 degrees. It was hot, and I was working outside all day. I think I lost about 10 pounds in sweat. So I am refreshing myself after about 2 gallons of water with a shock top or three to enjoy here in the hotel room to really get my core body temperature back down to normal levels. So
you would say it was burning in Phoenix today?
It was burning hot. Nice.
Fantastic. All right, let's jump into some content. First topic up, selection Sunday keeper designation. So just as a heads up, guys, our main league, we have a 30 player roster, and some people are going to balk at that and they're going to say, wow, what in the world? But we have 16 starters, and seven of those starters are IDP, which that is an acronym for individual defensive players. And so these are guys that, cornerbacks, linebackers, defensive end, defensive tackles that, are important to real football. So we wanted to have them in our fantasy football as well. But the vast majority of our starters, as well as our bench players, are on the offensive side of the ball. So we are structured like a normal league in that manner, but we also do run a salary cap as well. So again, we wanted to stick with the theme of a normal what would happen in real football. And so we have a static salary cap, and it stays at $350 year over year. And people's salaries fluctuate up if they perform better than kind of their spot relative to the top of their group. So if a running back who was the 26th salaried running back in the league, is the number one overall running back in the league for the year, then his salary is going to go up. And correspondingly, if the number one overall running back from a salary perspective is, performs at the number 10 running back in the league, his salary is going to stay exactly the same. So he won't have any increase in salary. So that's some of the things that we have going on in our league. And like I said, we had keeper designation. So this is a big moment in our league every year. We get to find out who's going to make it to the free agent auction that we're going to have in, I believe, next week. I believe it's slated for next Thursday. So that'll be another great episode when we have our auction come out. But we did have some, I think we had some decent surprise keeps and some surprise drops. So let's go into the surprise drops first. And from my perspective, what makes a surprise drop most times are the people who don't cost a whole lot and could be, not maybe not league winners, but could really compete for a roster spot on one of these really, really deep rosters. One of the guys that I identified really early was DeSean Jackson. He was a $1 drop, which on a $350 salary cap, that's less than 0.5% of the total person's salary. Total team salary, so it's really 0.3% of their total salary would have went to DeSean Jackson, and they do have a lot of young receivers on their team. But when you look at the roster construction, I was pretty surprised at it because DeSean Jackson at $1, they also kept Preston Williams at $1. I would probably want DeSean Jackson over Preston Williams this year. Preston Williams is kind of just a guy you can plug in, but I think DeSean Jackson could be a weak winner. Probably two or three times this year, where he might go off and catch, two or three touchdowns in 1 week. And I don't think Preston Williams has that in his game set. DeSean Jackson and DD Rest, they kept DD Westbrook at $6. They kept Christian Kirk at $8. There's a lot of different people that I think they kept from a maybe upside young receiver standpoint that may help you in the next 3 years, but I think D-Jax has the best chance to help you this year, especially at $1. And all the reports coming out of camp in Philly are pointing towards D-Jax being healthy. One of the quotes from an SI article was Darius Slay can't guard D-Jax in practice. And Darius Slay is one of the best corners in the league. So that one was a surprise for me. And I can get into the next one that I have, Brennan, but let's talk about maybe you have one or you can comment on the DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, the DeSean Jackson drop is for a dollar that's really surprising. Like for just on the stretch chance, right, that he's going to hit, keeping him for a dollar just makes total sense. I have had John Ross on my roster for last year and this year for $1. I'm keeping him on the roster just in the off chance that he hits, right? We have so many wide receiver really positions that we can just fill up. Waiting for that opportunity for when that player gets to jump into that. Alshon's out for probably a very significant portion of the season. I think Jackson's going to really step in coming back and sort of taking over that number one spot for Philly. That's a very surprise drop for a dollar.
Just a note on John Ross. You brought him up. Had you seen that John Ross had he is away from the team right now as his newborn son and the child's mother tested positive for coronavirus? I'm going to be I'm going to be really surprised if he actually does come back to the team this year. I don't think that he maybe even makes it back to the team this year. He might take that. I believe they have a late option opt out. Built into the structure where they can, if they have extenuating circumstances that happened after the opt-out period closed, that they can make that decision. So that I'm a little bit worried about John Ross actually coming back to the team.
Yeah, and that's okay. Like, I'm okay with that, right? It's a dollar. I'm not too
For a dollar.
concerned. Yeah, I'm not too concerned about it. Roster spots really aren't a concern for me. Sometimes you just have to go get a player for a dollar that you don't even want just to have a full roster in our league. Like, that's so one thing that we may not have said early on too is it's an 18 league, right? So we've got 30 players, but it's only 8 teams. So it's a relatively small league with a lot of players and little less than, or maybe around 30% of those are defensive players, right? We've got 7 starters on defense, but you usually have somewhere between 8 and 10 defensive folks for bye weeks and things like that that you're going to need those fill-ins or injuries, et cetera. So for a dollar for 20 offensive players that we have in our league, the in and out of sort of those extra spots that we have on offense, it's sometimes hard to just say, well, who do I want to pick up this week to try to get on a flyer? So I'm okay with I've had Gronk for all last season for a dollar, right? Now he's going to be the starting tight end under Brady, right? So to have that opportunity to pick up a person who for a dollar who can turn into the number one on the team, I'm okay with holding them in that roster spot if it's a dollar. If you've got $5 on that person and they're not going to play, they're taking up a spot, it's probably not worth it. But that's so DJax to go off for a dollar doesn't make much sense. He's probably going to get picked back up for more than a dollar.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, probably an auction. Yeah.
So bad drop in my opinion. Kind of pivoting a little bit to that. I know we were talking a little bit about drop. I don't know if you want to stay on that. I'd like to talk about a keep that was pretty interesting, and I think this pairs very well with the Jackson argument. So Alshon Jeffrey was kept for $10 for Philadelphia. That was a shocker to me, right? Alshon is on the PUP. He's going to be out for an extended period of time for the season, projected, right? If it continues through, he stays on that list. He's going to be out for a significant portion of the season. Alshon has that history of being that injury-prone receiver that doesn't make it the full season. When he plays, he's probably going to be great for the 2 weeks that he plays and then goes back on the injury list, right? So that to me was a wasted amount, especially considering, and there's a couple other examples on this team that I would want to bring up, but considering that the salary cap left on this team, they've only got $30 left in salary. Another $10 added to that would, yes, make another roster spot they had to fill up. They have 25 that they've kept, so they need 5 players. This would have made it 6 and given them an extra $10 to pick up maybe a DeSean Jackson for $7, right? I don't know what he's going to go for, but
Or to
you know there.
repick Alshon up for two, because
Yeah.
nobody's going to outbid you into that. So I think that's a great
Exactly.
tip slash trick to kind of give to the community, is saying, hey, know your league and know the rules. Know who's going to go after what. We tend to be really top heavy. We have a lot of really expensive guys, and then we got a bunch of dart throws where you're going to be able to find people like Alshon Jeffrey, like DeSean Jackson, like John Ross, like some of these other guys that maybe are that you're thinking about getting for a dollar. And they're all in the same tier. So you might as well, lose some of that. If you have a salary cap structure, lose some of that salary to give yourself a choice. That way you're not pigeonholed into carrying Alshon Jeffrey, even if you really love him. If you have a tier of guys that is 25 deep within that grouping that are literally just dart throws, then you don't need to carry him, because if you get that $10 back, you can do 3 or 4 dart throws at that point, instead of just having that one arrow in your sling. So.
Right, because on that note, right, Matt hinted at pigeonholing yourself, right? You pigeonhole yourself into worrying about salary constraints, but you also have to worry about the auction, right? You don't know who's going to land on the auction, right? It's blind. We don't know what players are going to get dropped until everyone drops all at once, right? So you have to drop players, and then we go into the auction with whatever salary dollars we have. So in this case, this team has $30 that they could spend in the open auction, right? That's really for one play. What they could spend on one player is going to be for less than that,
25.
$25, right? They could spend a max of $25 for one player and then $1 on every other player that they have to pick up after that. Versus if they had that extra $10, yes, that would be a dollar more that they had to put on a player that they had to pick up, but that's nine extra dollars. So they can now spend 34 on, say, Todd Gurley. Now I'll bring up Todd Gurley here in a second, but I do want to talk about that surprise drop to me. But I'll let you take the next one, Matt.
Well, then I'll do one of my surprise drops. One of my biggest surprise drop was one Mr. Marvin Jones. Somebody on this podcast dropped Marvin Jones for $15. Now, as a reference, that's 4.3% of a team's total salary cap. Let me remind you what Marvin Jones's pace was last year through 8 games. Sorry, through 12. He played 12 games. Got hurt in week 13 and went out. So I paced him off of his 12 game pace. His 16 game pace was 113 targets, 79 catches, 3 touchdowns. Got hurt in week 14. If he would have stayed on that pace, that would have been wide receiver 9 for the year. With Matt Stafford going out in week 9, for the weeks that Matt Stafford was in, he was actually on pace for 84 catches on 114 targets. So his efficiency was a lot better. We have no reason to believe that Matt Stafford isn't going to be healthy and come back and play. And he had a great year with trash throwing him the ball. I mean, David or yeah, is it David Blau or Matt Blau? It doesn't matter. He's terrible.
The
That
blast.
guy was just horrible, but Marvin Jones still puts up numbers. In reference to that, so my co-host also kept Steph Diggs for $19. So he kept Steph Diggs at $19, Marvin Jones at 15. Full season scored 14 more points than Jones. Steph Diggs played a full season scored, I'm going to say that again. Steph Diggs played a full season scored 14 more points than Jones. They're basically the same player, and I'm slightly confused why you would keep Steph Diggs and not Marvin Jones with the advance that you do have. I believe you do have a little bit of space left, don't you?
I do, yeah. So,
Yeah.
let me go into that. So, Stephon Diggs is in a brand new environment, right? He's in Buffalo. We are going to see things from him that I believe that we haven't had an opportunity to see from him in Minnesota. You had Adam Thielen there. I know they've got John Brown. John Brown's still young, learning system. Stephon Diggs is in a tier, I believe, overall from a performance potential, he's in a tier higher. Yes, I understand that last season, right, Marvin Jones on a per game basis was 15.3, 15.4 points per game, and Diggs landed in the low 14s, 14.2, somewhere in there. That being said, right, I think Diggs is in a brand new situation that he's going to have the opportunity to consistently, and I say that with emphasis, he's going to be able to consistently score in the high teens regularly, and he's going to have some low points, but for the most part, we're going to see, I think, a higher ceiling from him than we could potentially see from Marvin Jones on average. Now, we talk about Marvin Jones and his season last year. If you look at his scoring, week one, 10 points. Week two, 11 points. Week three, 22, right? Week four, 10. Week six, he had a bye in 5. Week six, 3.7. Week seven, 43 points. Week eight points. Week nine, 26. It's boom and bust. Like you can see a
Are you
clear,
ready?
you can
Are you
see.
ready for the counter?
Let's see it. Yeah.
You want to hear Stefan Diggs spreads over the first 10 weeks?
I'm looking at it. Yeah, it wasn't great either.
5.7, 8.9, 4.5, 14.8, 7.4, 45.5, 21.3, 18.3, 2.6, 7.9. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 out of 60% of the time in his first 10 weeks. He did squadoosh.
I
He
think
did nothing.
I get you, but I think that he's going to be in a different situation. Like I said, in Buffalo, he's going to have that opportunity to be able to consistently score. You're not going to have he's not going to have Dalvin Cook out there in Buffalo taking over the game and getting rid of the passing opportunity like Minnesota had, right? It's just a different situation in Buffalo that he's going to be in. And I think we're going to see a rise in his ceiling and his floor overall, right? He is going to have those floor games like every wide receiver does, but you're going to see less of them. I feel more confident in Diggs's opportunity and his potential as an athlete. I think he's just a better athlete than Marvin Jones
Marvin.
is. Yeah, they're just in a different tier. They're just a different caliber receiver. I believe Marvin Jones and Mike Evans were in college together, right? Marvin Jones was expected to be the number one at whatever school he went to. It's escaping me right now, but then Mike Evans came in and basically took over. That's sort of Jones's MO, right? You got Galladay there. Galladay's clearly the number one in that system. Marvin Jones just usually takes a back seat. He's the guy that just gets one or two 70-yard touchdowns in a game, and he has this boom potential, which is great. I love it when you start him and he scores 43 points for you. Hate it when he scores 3.7. Hate it when he scores 6.8, right? And that's been consistent with him. Marvin Jones is a great receiver. He's very much Amari Cooper-like, except Amari is a significantly better athlete and has that much higher potential to consistently score, but it's totally boom or bust. You look at Amari's stats and you see the same thing. He's got 2-point games and he's got 30-point games. You have more 20s than you do teens with Amari, which makes him a lot better fantasy option, but you do have that boom bust potential. That really
Okay,
goes to the extreme.
I feel like you've talked yourself into this bet now. So if you don't take it, you're really just going to make a fool of yourself. So
Right.
we're just going to go ahead and throw a 6-beer bet on Marvin Jones versus Steph Diggs.
Per game or overall?
No, overall.
I'll take that. I will totally take that. Stephon Diggs is
First
going to score more points than Marvin Jones.
on air bet. And it's a terrible one for you. All
Yeah.
right. Okay. So I, not to hijack it for the next one, but I'm going to hijack it because I was actually surprised at a keep that I had. So we made a trade. I traded you. You have Alvin Kamara on your team. I traded you Latavius Murray straight up for Damian Harris because I don't need Latavius Murray this year. And Damian Harris, I wanted to take a flyer on and see if anything came out of the Sonny Michel, news headlines over the next couple of weeks. And honestly, I'm a bit surprised that I kept him. He's $7, so he's not a big spot on the roster. But I'm really not sure there's a number one that will emerge from this backfield. I'm probably going to target James White in the backfield when we get to auction time. He at least gives you receiving work, and I think New England will be trailing more than usual this year, so there'll be a passing game script. And he's a PPR machine. I mean, he's going to have 80, 85 reception this year. I like his talent as a bruiser, Damian Harris, but really that's probably a waste of a roster spot for me. But I did just go, listen, I gave something up for him, and it was one of those things where you feel like you need to hold on to a guy like that because you did give something up for him. But honestly, even if Damian Harris comes out and sets the world on fire for 3 weeks, he's not going to be one of my starters because I've got Aaron Jones, I've got Joe Mixon, I've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's not he's he won't crack my lineup, and there's no way he's the year-long starter. In New England, because New England doesn't have a year-long starter. The thing that did stick with me though was that surprisingly last year, New England's running back group was the third highest scoring running back group in the league, and that really did surprise me. It kind of dumbfounded me but they rely on PPR points so much.
Yeah.
James White catches passes. Rex Burkhead can catch some passes. Sonny Michel was catching passes. So when you lump them all together, it's a really good rushing attack, but Bill Belichick likes to mess with people's minds, especially fantasy owners. And he likes to say, listen, you think you know who the guy is? You're wrong. And so I'm probably going to be wrong on this, and I wasted a roster spot for $7. But
Yeah, I'm gonna jump on the bandwagon here and say you did. For $7,
thanks.
right? This goes kind of back to what we talked about, right? This is sort of in line with, knowing what the value is. Harris for $7, you could drop him and pick him up for you could pick him up for one. I have no doubt about that, right? I think you could pick him back up for one on the auction. Now you can't, right? Because if you drop him after, we do have that hold time that you can't immediately pick him back up. So I think if you drop him now in the future, somebody may snag him up for $1 whenever the bids come out, when the waiver hits. So yeah, you probably did. I get it though, right? You trade for something, even if it's not a huge trade from who it is and what the expectation is from that player, but you feel invested and you want to keep that person. So that brings me to something that I had talked about just a minute ago, and I was going to bring back up again, is the biggest surprise drop for me, and not that that this person was dropped, but that what happened in the sort of preseason or pre-drop auction setting during the summer that he was traded for. So I'm going to bring up Todd Gurley. So Todd Gurley salary was $51, pretty high for a guy who's probably going to be able to be picked back up for significantly less. And I believe that's why you dropped Gurley. I don't think it was a you don't think he's worth a roster spot. I do think you think he's valued to your roster and that he can come in as that number three for you. That being said, I think it was interesting that you dropped him because we actually had a pretty strong trade for him months before, where I traded Gurley and 3 second-round picks for Russell Wilson and Kerryon Johnson. Now I would go into diving deep on how I turned not just Russell Wilson but Kerryon Johnson. I've got Russell on my squad right now. I've kept him. I plan on keeping him. Kerryon Johnson, I traded through with a couple other folks to pick up eventually Dak. I'm not going to say I gave Kerryon for Dak, but I paired him up with other trades built in to get Dak on my roster. And then I actually traded Dak back to you for James Conner and a pretty significant give up on my part that I had previously. I got one or two of those players back that I really liked. And I thought you and I actually had, and we'll talk about this in probably a later episode, but I think you and I actually had the blockbuster trade so far of the year with that mega trade that we had. But I bring that up to talk about the Gurley drop, right? So we had Russell Wilson, Kerryon Johnson for Gurley and 3 second-round picks. How did you feel about clicking that or unclicking that check mark next to Gurley's name, knowing that somebody could potentially outbid you on him in the open auction, right? Because you have a lot of salary dollars, but does somebody have more than you?
It was fun. No, nobody has more than me. I will be able to buy whoever I want in the auction draft. And this goes back to what I kind of said with Damian Harris. I felt the need that I did give something up for Damian Harris. So I kept him on the squad. I did give something up for Todd Gurley, but I would preach to the community out there, don't feel so ingrained in your roster moves that you're married to them for life, right? So I gave something up for Todd Gurley. It was Russell Wilson and Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon John So I gave up Russell Wilson because Kerryon Johnson, he's now wearing a knee brace in camp. It's going to be DeAndre Swift's backfield. No worries, that was a good trade away for me. So I gave up Russell Wilson for Todd Gurley, pick 2-1, pick 2-3, and pick 2-7 in our rookie draft. And what did I turn those second round picks ultimately into? It was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So I essentially gave up Russell Wilson and a no and a no commodity for I had to give up a little bit more to get up in the draft to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but it's pretty close.
I mean, it's the first round picks for the next 2 seasons, but yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, but it was 3 seconds, right?
I
So
think
I
it was
mean,
worth
over the course of
it.
time. Yeah, and if I look at roster construction from that, I also didn't have Joe Mixon on my team at the time. I also didn't have Aaron Jones on my team at the time. I also didn't have I didn't have CEH on my team at the time. So things have changed over the course of, we made that trade on March 9th. Things have changed from March 9th to today, to the point where I don't need to run Todd Gurley out. If you look at your roster and you go, listen, I've got my three starters that I'm going to run out every week. And Todd Gurley isn't one of them. And he's got a huge salary attached to him. It doesn't matter what you gave up for him in the past. You need to drop him and you need to move on, because if you made a bad, if you made a bad decision, if you made a bad trade, don't let that derail your whole season. Just move on with life. So that's what I've done. And now to that point, he's not worth 50, however many dollars. It was
51,
51. What was it?
51,
50, 52?
yeah,
Okay.
51.
He's not worth $51 in the league, regardless of if he's on my roster, if he's on somebody else's roster. So if I want Todd Gurley, I can go get Todd Gurley. I gave up enough cap space to where I have the availability. I've given myself now choices. And we'll actually get into, we're going to talk about Todd Gurley a little bit later too, about a tier break in there where, you know, do you like this player, this player, this player? And there's one of those guys in there that I like better than Todd Gurley. So if I look at the drops now, I'm super happy that I gave up Todd Gurley into the player pool, because I'm probably not gonna overly target him, because there's one of those players in that tier that I am gonna target over Todd Gurley. And if I hadn't given up Todd Gurley's salary, I wouldn't be able to go get him. So I'm not gonna live, I'm not gonna live with that past, that past thought of saying, oh man, but I gave up so much to go get him. If he's not worth it, he's not worth it. So I can see where people can get tied up in that stuff. But my suggestion to the community would be, don't get so bogged down with what you gave up. Fantasy football isn't a, what have you done for me in the past? It's, where are you going to go? You know, what are you going to do for me in the future? And Todd Gurley was gonna, he was going to be one of my top two running backs when I traded him, I traded for him with you. Now he would be my fourth string running back. And I don't need a fourth string running back to be my highest paid running back. Nobody talked to San Francisco. They didn't want Mostert to be their fourth highest paid running back, because he's probably going to get the most carries in the system. So they made that switch in real life. They said, okay, well, we're going to give you a little bit more money. I did the opposite. I said, Todd Gurley, you get less money. You know, that's what the Rams tried to do. But I said, Todd Gurley, you're going to get less money from my team. And we're going to try to get you at a discount here. So that's where my head was at on that. I would stand by that all day, every day, because does he make my team better today? Probably if he's on the roster, but not at $50, not at $50+ because of all of the roster spots that he's taking up. Would I rather have Todd Gurley in a silo? Or would I rather have, Lev Bell plus Damian Harris plus Chris Thompson plus, you could probably name three other guys that I'm going to be able to take dart throws on, or be able to outbid people by one, two, three, or $4 because it got rid of that $50 price.
I 100% agree with the drop. I just thought it was an interesting talking point for us to bring up, considering what it was given up in the offseason. So I think we're probably running a little long this segment now, but I do
We
want
are.
to wrap up real quick on a couple other key ones, and I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just going to spout them out. So Brandon Cooks was kept for $39. I thought that was interesting. Golden Tate was also kept for $15. Keep in mind, this is the same person that kept Alshon for 10.
I agree. I agree with Cooks. I would have kept him as well. I think he's primed for 100 catch season in that offense. I think he's going to be a monster. I would want Cooks for 39. If he wanted to. I wouldn't give up anything of value, but if he was on my roster, I wouldn't drop him. I would have kept him too. I think he's got a huge potential in that offense. And again, with his roster construction, and his wide receivers, yet you get yourself in a position where you have no choice. If he's your top one or two wide receiver, you kind of got to keep him. So I believe I'm not with you on that one, but I'm super with you on the Golden Tate one. I don't like any New York Giants wide receivers. I think they're going to have a terrible year. It's going to be Sa it's going to be the Saquon show. And then I think it's just going to be a bunch of guys with 55 catches. So I'm not, I don't like any of them. I wouldn't start any of them in any game. That's not to say I wouldn't roster them for some upside, but I certainly wouldn't go out of my way to have them on the roster.
Yep, I think
So yeah.
I think Houston is a dumpster fire for the Cooks. But okay, you ready to go to the
Oh,
next? You ready to go to the
yes.
next segment?
Okay, so we're gonna hit up the burning questions.
Ooh.
These are gonna be some player comparisons today. So after the drops, I found some kind of tier breaks in there where we can do some player comparisons, say, who would you want? And I'll have their current ADPs, kind of where they're going in 12 team leagues, at what position in their what ranking within their position on the field they're going. And first one we're going to start with is quarterbacks, and we're going to go. And I think these are all going to be things where people have to make this decision during the draft. So when you're picking these guys, you're kind of picking which one of these guys you want in that same round that you're in. So these are all very relevant around each other. So the first one with quarterback is Big Ben, Cam Newton, and Phil Rivers. So Big Ben's going at 19, Cam Newton's going at 18, and Philip Rivers going at 26. So just kind of your insight on which one of those you would want in that grouping.
Yeah, for me. So this is redraft, right? We'll talk dynasty after we kind of do the comments on each player. But for me, in that section, if these three players were going to go into the same round, you had to pick one in the round that they're going in. My order would be Big Ben, Philip Rivers, and then Cam Newton would be at the end. Just to kind of give some reasoning behind that, Big Ben, I think, is poised for a super strong comeback year. I mean, the guy is has been, right? History speaking, right? Big Ben is a consistent top five quarterback from a fantasy perspective, right? He's had 5,000 yard passing seasons. The dude is crazy good at throwing lots and lots of yards. He's got a young receiving core, Juju, set up pretty strong to be obviously the lead wide receiver in that pack. And I think he has the potential for a top 6 to 7 finish. I think he could land inside the top 6 or 7 from a wide receiver perspective if Big Ben has the season that I think he's going to have. You got Deontay Johnson, young second year receiver that everyone's talking about. I think he's going to have a very strong second year season. But Big Ben is, in my opinion, out of those three, age considering against all three of them, Big Ben is definitely poised to have, I think, the best year. Philip Rivers. So, interesting thing about Philip Rivers in Indianapolis. So, Indianapolis last year was ranked third, and that is number three, third from the at the top, right? Number three. The Chargers were ranked. Do you know where they were ranked at, Matt? The O-line. This is the offensive line.
Not good. He was on his back a lot.
The Chargers are ranked third from the bottom. I thought that was interesting. So he goes from the third from the bottom to the third from the top, and this was the finishes for the season. So, and then now Indy is actually preseason ranked as the number one offensive line in football. Rivers under that third from the bottom offensive line was actually ranked better than Jacoby Brissett. Underneath the third from the top offense. So arguably Rivers doesn't have the outside weapons that Brissett had, right? He had Mike Williams and Keenan Allen out there from the receiving core. Still has a pretty decent target in T.Y. Hilton. I think Rivers has a pretty good opportunity to be in his best opportunity that he's ever had in his career, right? The Chargers haven't really historically set him up for a lot of success. He's been on his back quite a bit throughout his career. He's really made a lot out of nothing, complains about it, but has made a lot out of nothing. So I think going to Indianapolis, I think he's set up pretty well. Cam, I have no idea how that is going to work under Belichick. Cam is a different style than Belichick's used to, right? He's a completely different, like you look at a coin. Cam's play versus Tom Brady's play is completely opposite. They have nothing in common when it comes to how they pass, how they run, how they play in the pocket. It's completely different. Cam likes to launch the ball down the field. Tom Brady liked to dump it off to his receivers and make them do a lot of the work. Cam liked to run the ball. Tom would sit in the pocket and wait for things to come open, run through all of his progressions and get it to the best receiver possible. Cam, I think, makes things happen when he doesn't have to. It'll be interesting to see how that meshes with sort of Belichick's play in his offense.
Okay. Yeah, we're pretty close in agreement. Out of those three, I'm gonna take Big Ben, and then I'm gonna take Cam Newton. I don't want anything to do with Phillip Rivers. I just don't. I don't see it this year. He's that. I think that right arm is getting bad. I don't think he's. I don't think he's poised for a big year. I think their running backs are gonna touch the ball 35 times a game. I think Jonathan Taylor's gonna have a gigantic year behind that offensive line. And I think Big Ben doesn't really have. I mean, James Conner's a pass catching running back. I think Big Ben is poised for a 4,500 yard season. And I think Cam Newton, based on they're going to be a negative game script, so he's going to be dropping back. So I think he's going to have some scramble ability. If that knee can hold up and that ankle can hold up, then he. I mean, he might be the cheat code again, like he was, and he's probably. He's probably pretty ticked off, kind of by the contract situation over what he went through over the course of the summer. So I'd probably go Big Ben, Cam Newton. I'm not touching Phillip Rivers. There's no way Phillip Rivers ends up on any of my teams. There is an avenue where Big Ben or Cam Newton end up on my team, especially in redraft, because if I go running back, you know, if I go running back, and then go wide receiver for the next four picks. You're gonna have to reach on one of these guys. You're gonna have to get some high end, you know, high upside guy at the very end of the draft. So, yeah, it's gonna be Big Ben and then Cam Newton, and I'm not gonna touch Phillip Rivers. So, the next one that we would look at, we'll do a running back comparison, and then we'll do a wide. We'll finish up with a wide receiver comparison. This one is gonna be Gurley, Bell, and then David Johnson. And I'll kind of touch on it where I would go, because I'm actually really high on one of these guys. And it's David Johnson. I want David Johnson on my team. I want him everywhere, especially for the draft capital they have to give up for him. I don't see how there's any way he finishes 21. So Gurley's going at running back 15, Bell's going at running back 20, and David Johnson going at running back 21. Bill O'Brien wants to prove that somehow that David Johnson trade was worth it. So the guy's going to have 300 touches this year. And for all of the, you know, well, Bell's gonna have Gurley's gonna be hurt. Bell is in jet, you know, in is in New York with Adam Gase. I want nothing to do with Adam Gase offense. David Johnson is there, and what are the weapons do you have? Usually, when you vacate targets to the wide receiver position, they go to the running back. David Johnson is a great pass catching running back. We've seen them turn around and hand the ball off to Frank Gore. The you know that. Geriatric gets a million carries with, you know, with Houston. David Johnson is better than Frank Gore. He certainly out of the backfield, and we're talking PPR here. So, I don't see how David Johnson isn't probably the, you know, his floor is probably running back 14 for me, just with the usage that he's going to get. So, I want David Johnson on all of my teams, and if I go wide receiver early, I really want David Johnson. It's going to be somebody like. David Johnson, and then I would go with somebody like James White or Tariq Cohen or Chris Thompson, even. I love Chris Thompson this year. I think Jacksonville wants away from Leonard Fournette. You can get Chris Thompson super late, and he's probably primed to catch 65 to 70 passes this year. So, my ideal kind of running back grouping, if I went wide receiver, like if you end up with Michael Thomas and somehow, you know, a, oh, who would be going at the end of the second round? You know, somebody like Mike Evans, or you know, heaven forbid, somebody like Tyreek. You know, if you're living, if you're in a league full of dum-dums, and one of those big, you know, top-end guys, or somehow Michael Thomas slips to number eight. You know, you have a run on running backs at the very beginning. You're going to take Michael Thomas at number eight, and if you go wide receiver, and lock that up, or get a tight end, and then go David Johnson and one of those pass catching running backs, I'd be stoked about what my team looked like. So David Johnson's my guy. Just kind of where, what guy would you be in on that grouping?
Well, I will say that in Houston, I do like D. Johnson for the play that he is meant for. And just note, when I say D. Johnson, I don't mean David
Duke.
Johnson. I mean Duke Johnson. I like Duke Johnson as that third down back. He's sort of that Sproles guy, Sproles-like guy. And you know, I think Bill O'Brien has. if Houston isn't looking at seeing looking to do something else with him, I would be I'd be shocked. If it's not the if it's not the ownership, it's going to be the fans. I don't see Bill O'Brien staying around much longer in Houston. Houston, like I said, alluded to earlier, is just a complete dumpster fire. I'm not a big fan of David Johnson this year. I'm not really a big fan of him anyways after his major, you know, knee injury he had a couple years ago. He just hasn't been the same. He's slower than he was. He's not as explosive. He's not the same back that he was before. And in Houston, if you think about the way that Deshaun Watson plays, he doesn't look to dump it off to the back. He runs it himself, right? So when he gets in trouble and he needs to dump it off to a back, like most quarterbacks do, he doesn't do that. He does it and he takes the ball into his own hands and does it himself. So I don't look for really any running back in the situation when Watson gets trouble to be the dump off, right? Watson is going to take it. He's going to run with it. They're not going to get the opportunities like you think that they would in most situations. They got rid of arguably a top three wide receiver in the league, maybe the best wide receiver in the league, to Arizona to spread out the offense. That's just not going to happen as much. You know, Brandon Cooks, he's a great receiver. He is absolutely not a Hopkins. He's not. So I don't see that offense being able to spread out as much, which means that everything is going to go a lot tighter. It's going to get a lot more difficult for your backs to actually be effective. Duke Johnson is not a between the tackles running back. That's not what I'm alluding to. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the those third down backs later. I want to bring up Duke Johnson because we didn't have him on our list, but we'll bring that up as well. Not a big fan of David Johnson this year. Gurley is actually my favorite out of the three that we picked. And I'm going to actually talk about Lev Bell before I talk about Gurley. I do like Lev Bell's situation. However, you said it yourself. Frank Gore, who is in Houston, is now in New York. He is with the Jets. He's right behind Lev Bell. Frank Gore has a history of sucking stats from the sort of bell cow of the system, right? That's just what he does, right? Frank Gore's there now. He's going to really affect Lev Bell's overall production, I believe, in New York. And the Jets' offensive line is miserable. They actually came in at the 27 mark. They didn't really improve year over year. I don't see Lev Bell having the opportunity to be able to run between the tackles and make, you know, make things happen. Gurley, out of the three, is my favorite. I'm so glad he's available in auction for me to pick up again. I don't see him as, you know, you alluded to it. I don't see him as. He's not your number one. He's not your number two. He might be your number three, your flex player, right? I think he would be a great flex player if that's your option, or a trade bait, right? Somebody gets hurt midseason. I think if Gurley's there and you can offer him up to somebody who really needs a workhorse, Gurley can be a great trade option. So last season, Freeman, who was the lead back in Atlanta, had 70 passing attempts and caught 59 for 410 yards and four touchdowns. Gurley is a significantly better, I believe, out of the backfield passing running back, can make something out of nothing when you get him out on the end and he's got one person to beat. I think Gurley is significantly better in that position. And as you know, I just referenced from the statistics, Matt Ryan likes to do that. He likes to dump it off to his backs and let them do the work, a lot like Tom Brady. So Gurley out of the three is easily my favorite. D. Johnson really hits the back end. Lev Bell somewhere in the middle just because Frank Gore's there.
See, and I just don't. I don't think Gurley's going to be on the field. I think they're going to have to spell him. They're already talking about spelling him. He's already getting limited reps at camp. Everybody likes Brian Smith. Is it Brian Smith? I
Yeah, I
believe
think it's
that
Brian Smith.
is kind of the team, you know, the team mascot there. You know, they wanted him to have kind of the shot at it. So I think Gurley's going to be splitting reps. Bell's definitely going to be splitting reps with Gore. David Johnson, I don't think is going to leave the field. You talk about Duke Johnson. You pick up Duke Johnson, you're just wasting a roster spot.
Oh yeah, definitely,
We probably.
definitely not picking up Duke. I'm just saying, out of UD Johnson's, I actually like him for what he is.
Okay, real quick, just give me the, you know, 3 second rundown of who you're going to pick out of this group, and then we got to move on to the burnt ends and wrap it up. One of the more intriguing kind of tiers with the wide receivers ended up being AJ Green, Julian Edelman and Marvin Jones. I'm gonna target. Well, I'll let you answer first, and then I would like to see where your head's at on this.
You know I'm going to try to pick up Marvin Jones for less than my $15 that I dropped him for. So Marvin out of the three is my guy. For $15 is just too much. I think I can get him for cheaper on, during the auction. Maybe not. Maybe he'll go for 15. Maybe he'll go for more. I have that. I do have that flexibility to be, I do have a little bit more of my salary dollars available. So Marvin Jones is my guy. I don't have as much as you, so you could definitely take him for $50 if you wanted to. Edelman, not really interested. He's going to be, he's historically, the last couple of years, he's been boom bust anyway. And I don't think his quarterback situation helps him. And to me, I think I alluded to it in the first episode, AJ Green feels all but done. I really like Tyler Boyd in that situation. Young receiver with young quarterback. I don't know how many more, how much more time AJ Green really has at Cincinnati.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. I have them. Yeah, so I have them Jones, Edelman, Green, and that's in a silo. So if I was given the option of you can have one of these three wide receivers, I would take Jones, and then I would take Edelman, and I would take AJ Green. It's just really interesting how the fantasy community kind of bubbles up with news, right? So their ADPs are AJ, they're inverted. AJ Green is going at wide receiver 28. Edelman's going at wide receiver 33, and Marvin Jones is going at wide receiver 38. So you're able to wait basically an entire round past where AJ Green goes and pick up a better version, a more consistent version, a guy who can win you a league in Marvin Jones, at least one round later, and maybe two. There's no way that Marvin Jones, if Matt Stafford stays on the field, which I think he's going to. I hope he's going to, because I'm probably going to target him late in drafts as well. But if I can get a, if I can just load up on running backs and wide receivers in the early rounds and then pick up Marvin Jones, at wide receiver 38, I'm getting a bargain, because he's going to be, Kenny Galladay is probably going to be a top 10 wide receiver, but Marvin Jones is most certainly going to be a top 24 wide receiver. His pace was wide receiver 9 last year, and he wasn't blowing the world up. He just looked like normal Marvin Jones year over year. So, I don't see how there's any way that he isn't a wide receiver 2 this year, which is, top 24 wide receiver, and you get him at a discount of wide receiver 38. So, I love his value, and I still like Edelman's value at 33 too. If I can get Edelman and Marvin Jones in the same draft, I'm super happy if I went wide receiver 1 at the top, because now I've got two high volume pass catchers that have relatively safe floors. Edelman's still going to catch 6 passes a game, even if it's old loose goose Cam Newton throwing him the football. But I think his touchdowns are going to, his touchdowns are going to go away. There's not a ton of options there. So you have passing volume. If you're in a negative game script, which I've talked about, and I'm going to put my hat on New England being a negative game script, you're going to have targets. So, and Edelman is always open. I mean, that Kansas City game 2 years ago, last year, I mean, he just ran crossing route after crossing route after crossing route. I can just remember it in my brain. Just he ran wide open all day, and that's just what he does. He just finds separation. And if Cam Newton can just be a decent quarterback, because Tom Brady was not a good quarterback last year. But Edelman was open. So if he can just be decent and throw the ball somewhere where Edelman might be, he's gonna catch, 85 passes this year. And if I can get him at wide receiver 33, sign me up all day, every day.
If Camp can just take a breath for a second and go through his progressions, he'll see that Edelman is open. I agree with you, but Camp style, that's not Cam style. Cam, like I said earlier, Cam and Tom are two totally different passers. They just play differently. Marvin Jones, interesting. So I had a redraft, and I'll make this quick. I know we're running late on time, but I was in a 10-team redraft league. I picked up Marvin Jones for with pick number 76 in the 8th round.
Nice.
I thought that was great. I thought I was super super happy with that pickup. Something of note in that same draft. Pick 125, I picked up Matt Stafford in round 13. So I was pretty happy about that pickup as well as my number two quarterback.
So what you're saying is my philosophy is spot on.
I agree with your
Disagree.
philosophy.
Just concur and we'll move on.
You know we can't do
I know.
that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get into the burnt end and we'll wrap it up. And again, if you guys don't know what a burnt end is, go out, figure it out, or we'll just have an episode where we talk about Kansas City barbecue, which is the greatest barbecue on the face of the earth. I don't want to hear any of this Texas barbecue nonsense or coastal barbecue nonsense. That's for the birds. So we may have a, you know, we may have kind of some just some casual podcasts that talk about some of the things we enjoy. I enjoy doing a little bit of cooking. And so that would be certainly one that we would want to talk about. But the final kind of conversation that we're going to have is the burnt end. And my burnt end today, as it is near and dear to my heart and my dynasty team's heart, is Green Bay is apparently prioritizing a new contract for Aaron Jones via Ian Rapoport. My question here, and I might just throw out some details for everybody here, and then Brandon, you can give some opinion analysis on the tail end here, just because I did deep dive on this, because it does matter to me. I have Aaron Jones in my dynasty, as I told you guys earlier. It's you know, kind of my dynasty running back core hinges on whether Aaron Jones is a starting running back for one of you know, a really good offense in the league. So my first thought is, man, this sounds a lot like conjecture. It sounds a whole lot like coach speak. And how does, you know, how does that change his dynasty value overall? I did make note, you know, he's in his final year of his rookie deal. AJ Dillon was drafted in the second round pick. He was pick 60. He was a second round pick. He was pick 60, which is basically a beginning of the third pick. He was the sixth running back taken. So pretty decent draft capital that went to it. The five that went before him were CEH, Swift, Taylor, Akers, and Dobbins. So a pretty good cast of characters that are looking to, you know, contribute this year and certainly next year. So there's no reason that we shouldn't think that AJ Dillon wouldn't be poised to contribute a little bit this year and maybe some next year. So the current 2021 running back free agent class, man, is it loaded. It already has Gurley, Kamara, Cook, Lindsey, Mixon, Fournette, Drake, Hunt. I mean, there are a ton of guys that are going to be on the free agent pool next year. Not all of those guys are going to make it. I don't believe Cook makes it there. I don't believe Mixon makes it there. I don't believe Drake makes it there. I think Arizona signs him back. And Kamara is probably going to get locked up. So that's going to get significantly lower, but that just eats up how many spots are actually open for somebody to actually go sign Aaron Jones outside of Green Bay. And then you look at Aaron Rodgers' contract is really what is, and anytime you talk about Green Bay, if you don't talk about Aaron Rodgers, I think Aaron Rodgers tries to sue you. So we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers and his massive contract. Really, their first out is in 2021. If they trade him in 2021, and the whole thing is, how do you sign Aaron Jones while also fitting in with Aaron Rodgers' contract that's already on the books? His cap hit is $36 million in 2021. If they trade him in 2021, they can actually save about $4.5 million to the cap. So they still only have, they have about $31 million in dead money and dead cap hit there. But the team who trades for him is going to get Aaron Rodgers from ages 38 to 40 at $24 million per year. So a great bargain. You definitely want, here's looking at you, Tampa Bay, right? I mean, Tom Brady's a million years old. If you can just roll from Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers by giving up, what are you going to have to give up? Two first rounders for Aaron Rodgers to Green Bay to actually get him. Somebody's going to give up a big chunk for Aaron Rodgers. The biggest pinch point on that is, you know, how do you actually go get him? And what does that do to Aaron Jones? I don't see them signing Aaron Jones after putting that draft capital to AJ Dillon. But that's just me. I posted something on Twitter. If you guys haven't seen it yet, AJ Dillon's legs, I made the comment that tree trunks wished they were AJ Dillon's legs. This guy is a freak of nature. He is a monster. He's 6 foot, 250 pounds, and runs like a freaking gazelle. If you guys haven't seen any highlights on him, I would suggest you go check him out. Don't go check him out, but go look at the highlights and go look at just general pictures of this guy's calves and thighs. He is a monster of a man. And if I was a GM of a team, I would want to build around that guy. So I just don't see Green Bay actually prioritizing a new contract for Aaron Jones, especially with having a rookie quarterback coming in the next 2 years. So I don't know if that kind of sparked some opinions out of you, Brandon, or not, but.
No, because frankly, I saw those pictures of AJ Dillon, and I completely forgot Aaron Jones was still on the team. AJ Dillon is a shorter, so better center of gravity. Derrick Henry, like Derrick Henry is 6'3", 238, and they have such a hard time taking him down. AJ Dillon is 6 foot. You said it, 6 foot, 247. The dude is going to just be a bone crusher in the league. And if they're going to want a back that they're just going to want, Rodgers is going to eventually want to just turn around and hand the ball off, right? He's going to become less efficient as quarterbacks do throughout their time up from throwing the ball. You look at Peyton Manning's last seasons, right? He didn't throw the ball nearly as much. He was able to just turn around, hand it off, let the defense do the work whenever they came in. But the offense really centered a lot around the running back and short of those sort dump off passes. AJ Dillon is, you said it, he is a monster. He is a freak of nature. Those legs are massive, and that's what really separates the running backs. It's not their upper body, it's their lower body. If they have that lower body that is really powering them through tackles and making them elusive, right? And for a big guy like him, I'd love to see how elusive he's going to be in the league, because that will be fun to watch. So I didn't really think a whole lot of it seeing the Aaron Jones talk, just because AJ Dillon feels more like the future, running backs. Where it's clear that there is just a one running back that makes total sense. Zeke, there's one running back. Saquon, there's one running back. Green Bay, there's two running backs, right? So for me, the older one who is in contract negotiations usually doesn't feel like the one that is going to be the long-term back that's going to stay there, unless for whatever reason the younger one just fizzles out and doesn't hold up to expectations. It's hard from the physical stature that AJ Dillon is to not see him as that, as being competition for Aaron Jones. So I don't know. I don't make a whole lot of it just because the competition there is going to be so strong for Aaron Jones. And like you said, that free agency class that's coming up is going to be massive. I think there's going to be some folks that are going to want to pick him up, and I just don't see Green Bay hanging on to him.
Man, I tell you though, if Green Bay does actually prioritize them and get him signed under a long-term deal, he just shoots up dynasty boards. That guy becomes a
He
commodity
does.
that everybody wants. Because to your point, you said that Aaron Rodgers is eventually going to want to turn around and hand the ball off. You're going to have to turn around and hand the ball off when you trade Aaron Rodgers and you insert Jordan Love into the starting quarterback position, because that guy's got no arm. I just don't. He is not a start. I did not like his tape coming in. I am not a Jordan Love guy. So if you're going to build around Jordan Love, you better have some guys who can make some people miss. And I think Aaron Jones is that guy. AJ Dillon is a aggressive man. He makes a one-step plant and goes upfield. So if you want the bruiser, you go with AJ Dillon. But if you want the guy, and let's remember, Devontae Adams is 28. And he's got one more year in his contract. He's got this year and next year. And if you don't re-sign Devontae Parker, if you don't, or Devontae Parker, if you don't re-sign Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones is your last playmaker. They don't have anybody else. Alan Lazard's going to be their number two wide receiver this year. Jamal Williams is not going to see the field this year. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what, if anything does come out of that, it changes the whole perspective of where Aaron Jones's career is headed. Because I would hate to see him move to a new type of system after we just saw him break out. I mean, year one, you finally give him the volume and he does what you expect him to do. And now everybody's going, well, it's AJ Dillon's backfield. It's going to be really interesting if he comes out and has another running back two type of year. That's Aaron Jones. You feel almost obligated to pay him at that point, but that also means that you have to ship Aaron Rodgers out. So
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, those two guys can't stay in the same system is my point, right? They are those two feel like they are both lead backs in whatever system they're in. And it just seems like AJ Dillon's profile so much like Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry, any team should love to have. They ran nearly identical 40 times in their combine. And like I said, their size comparisons are pretty interesting. AJ Dillon shorter, bigger, but as fast as Derrick Henry, that's scary. Like, that's a pretty scary guy to, from a linebacker perspective, trying to take that guy down is going to be real interesting. So I just don't think the two of them can stay in the same system. That's my point, right? AJ Dillon is not going to be happy as the number two back. And Aaron Jones is not going to be happy as the number two back. One of them is going to want to be the lead back.
Yeah. All right. Well, my beverage is empty, so let's take the pads off.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, thanks for jumping on, guys. Matt talked about it at the beginning of the podcast. We're on Twitter. Matt, what's that Twitter handle? You get that?
Oh, FB burners. Hang on.
I think that's
Guys,
right.
again, I haven't Twittered or tweeted or Facebooked in 6 years, and it is at FB burner. So FB burner. FB burner.
FB burner. So leave us your comments on there. Love to hear from you guys, whoever listens, and just feedback, how we can improve, maybe some content that y'all want to hear. We'd love to talk about different things. We obviously our focus is fantasy football. That's really what this is about, but it's really about other things that we enjoy too. We're going to talk about it. We talked about smoking meats, burn ends, that type of stuff. That's going to be sort of a theme as we go, but love to get your feedback on other topics of conversation that you'd like to hear from us. So thanks for jumping on, and we will talk with you on, we'll be back on with a new episode. We're going to record on Thursday and most likely post it on Friday.
Sounds great. See you later, guys.